Let's Talk Life with London.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Let's Talk Life. Today is an exciting episode. I have a special guest. Her name is J-Ann Lopez. She is an award-winning founder and CEO of Black Girl Gamers. It's a popular and influential community-powered organization that advocates for diversity, inclusion, and heightening Black women's voices. Black Girl Gamers also partners with brands to increase Black women's equity in the industry. J-Ann has previously been featured in Cosmopolitan, BuzzFeed, Dazed, Glamour, Vice, Refiner 29, Vogue, and so many more. She's also the co-founder of Curlture, a member and judge for BAFTA, a speaker, and she's an entrepreneur. She does it all. In addition to Black Girl Gamers, J-Ann is also the founder of Gamers Girls Night, the first women and non-binary focused event that combines gaming, beauty, and fashion all together. I am so excited for J-Ann to join us today to talk more about her endeavors and her journey, and I'm so excited to have her here with us. Hi, J-Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome. I'm so excited for you to be here today.
Likewise. Thank you so much. I see us like matching hair colors kind of thing.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing here. We were right here. We were talking a little bit offline and you were telling me a little bit about your new transition to LA from London.
Yes, from your name, literally.
It was meant to be.
Link up. Yeah, no. So I moved here. I moved here late last year. And it has been a major journey and transition. There's been a lot of tears, mm-hmm. a lot of stress, a lot of not knowing what to do and what I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm super excited to explore life over here. So, yeah. It's been interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure. So what do you feel like the most challenging aspect was? Was it mental, emotional, leaving your friends and family? Or was it just all of it? All the above? Yeah.
Literally all of it. And like I moved over here for a job. And 2 days later after I started, the job was gone, which left me up in the air with so many things. Yeah. Like I definitely considered going back home. But honestly and truly, I always wanted to leave the UK for a minute and just live somewhere else. And I had to kind of hold myself together. I had to hold myself. It was stressful, but you know, it's balancing out now. I'm settling. I'm feeling a little bit better. So it was good to hold out 100%.
Well, I'm glad that you hung in there because you are doing amazing things and I'm so excited to dive into what you're doing and what you're creating. I think it's so needed, so beautiful what you're cultivating and the community that you're bringing together. For those that don't know, tell us about how you started Black Girl Gamers.
Okay. So originally it started as a Facebook group. At a time where I had been doing my own little gaming channel and thing, but I got super like lonely essentially. I didn't have as many Black women for gamer friends. There was a lot of sexism and in racism and exclusion in the space, and so I wanted to create a space. And I had met a girl online, and at first like I asked her if she wanted to do it with me, but then she went through some stuff, so she didn't end up doing it, so I just did it myself. Fast forward 8 years, we now have the biggest community of Black women gamers in the world. We partner with organizations like Google, Meta, Netflix, Square Enix, Benefit Cosmetics, Anastasia at Beverly Hills, lots of brands that we've worked with in the past. And so it's been amazing journey, but that's how we got started. Really and truly, it was kind of selfish. I wanted to have people, but then I knew that if I was going through this, there were other Black women who were going through it too. And so I just, you know, did the thing.
I think it's always so cool how us as Black women in particular, when we can't see something
we create
already
something.
Done, we create it. I think that's so unique to our stories.
Very
as
true.
A whole. And I love that you mentioned that, you know, you were seeing a need, a hole in the industry that needed to be met, and you just created it. That's so incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, it's still my safe space to this day. I really enjoy it. You know, it's evolved, and we hire from the community. So the women who work on the team who are now like employees are from the community. So yeah, that's super important to me, and it's super beautiful. And yeah, it's a great place to be. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I can tell that it's your passion because of the way that you execute it. I think you can tell when it's actually someone that's meant to do something and somebody that like is actually passionate about what they're doing because of the excellence that they bring to it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, you're hiring me? Okay, I'll take it.
Gaming is not a space that we typically see a significant amount of Black women or Black people in general in. Tell me about how you're shifting the space to make room.
I mean, it's been a while since the shift started, to be honest with you. So we started in 2015. And the first thing that we kind of tackled was visibility. So during the early days, a lot of Black women were scared to stream because of what would happen to them, people knowing that they're Black, knowing that they're a woman. And so us being like this kind of frontier in the space and encouraged, one, being vocal and calling out some of the rubbish that was going on, but also being that frontier so Black women could feel encouraged to and would inside of the community cross-pollinate ideas, you know, help each other out with how to stream, and they felt more at home, they felt more safe. And so that led to increase of Black women in the space, and we were one of the first communities, if not the first, to have a weekly stream team where someone is on the channel every day. If someone's on the Twitch channel every day and someone's on our Facebook gaming channel every day streaming. And that representation, just seeing Black women every day on the channel, increases the, you know, the likelihood for other Black women to be like, I'm going to stream on my own channel. I'm going to create my own thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that credit us to encouraging them, for encouraging them to do so. And then so past that visibility aspect, we then started focusing on equity and representation. So representation in 2017 and 18, I kind of went like a press run calling out the industry as to why there were very little Black playable female characters in the industry. You could count them on like maybe what, 2 to 3 hands out of all the characters that had been made. And so that was one of the things. And so in 2008, you saw after, you know, our ripple effect on that was that you'll see a lot more Black playable female characters coming out now on games with rosters. So if they have a roster of characters, you're bound to get at least 1 to 2 Black female characters. Games like Paladins, games like Apex Legends, games, even like games of League of Legends that hasn't had a Black woman since inception, got a Black woman recently due to its chief diversity officer, but she also, you know, we also talked. And so, and she was aware of me and I was aware of her in the industry. And so that whole, just the existence of BGG has made it known that there is another audience out here that you should be contemplating. So, and then currently we focus on equity. So doing consulting, talent broking, and providing Black women opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise get, or they would, but they wouldn't get a fair fee kind of thing. Right. So there's also that. And then providing our members opportunities to be paid to do content creation, etc., be it for us or be it for other brands. And so also mentorship and workshop programs, but these are we do a lot, so I don't want to bore you, but there's those ways in which like it happens in terms of where it's gone from just visibility to increasing equity and representation.
Wow. And what I hear is a lot of courageous steps on your part to open up these doors and create these type of opportunities. When you were first starting, Was there anyone that you looked up to kind of like be like, okay, they kind of tried to make the steps, but like I want to follow in their footsteps, but I still want to do more? Was there that for you?
I wouldn't say look up to. I think there were a lot of people who were peers in the space who were doing things. Mm-hmm. So I know like Tanya DePass of We Need Diverse Games was doing her thing. There was an original other communities like doing their thing focused around non-white people and black people. So there were like peers in the space, but none of them really focused on black women specifically in that way. And so that's something that I've focused on my core focus, not changing that from that focus, no matter how many times people ask me, because a lot of the time people see what BGG does and they get, you know, encouraged by it and they get excited by it. And they're like, are you going to open up to no one else? And I'm like, no, because everyone else has everyone else to rely on, you know?
Right.
There's hardly anyone looking out for black women specifically. And I want to make sure we keep that as our focus. So I wouldn't say looked up to, because we were all doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. But I know like when people like Angela Roseborough, who was the chief diversity officer of Riot, I mentioned her in everything I speak about, because she literally became a beacon for me before we even met. Like I was talking about her because it was just encouraging to see her come into the industry and really make a lot of changes. Yeah. But I learned all the skills most of the skills and a lot of the skills for the initial part of BGG from my other platform, Culture. So I wasn't really looking upwards. I was looking sidewards at what I was doing there to bring it over here.
Mm-hmm. What did those steps, and just a few of them, what did those steps look like when you were trying to knock down some doors or some obstacles initially? What was that, or maybe something that people may not have any idea of?
Funding from my own pocket, that was the very first thing. Having a Patreon page, funding everything, a lot of things, if not everything, from my own pocket for when we go to events and stuff. And my very first speaking gigs, all the money went towards the business. None of it went towards me. Like just that, nothing. I don't take anything from that business in that way at that time, because if I don't keep it going, no one else is going to.
Right.
I wanted to keep the space free for black women to just come in and join. I didn't want to make a space which is charging women to escape from oppression. Didn't ever sit right with me. Some of the other things, like the other obstacles or steps, it's just having thick skin. Like when it comes to changing and innovating or pioneering in a space in which both white and black people are not familiar with that movement or not comfortable, you get it from all sides. And that was something that was a little hard to navigate at times. Mm-hmm. Because on one side, you feel like these people are pushing me out because I'm not the same skin tone. And the other side was like, they're just being really catty and picky. But they're not even trying to do what you do. So it's like, you know, when people comment on things that they have no idea of how to do and they have no dream of what to do.
Right.
Even do it to make a change, but they're criticizing you. That right. was that happened. So
that was
something to navigate. But I'm lucky I'm hard headed. So
and it got you to where you are now. What kind of when you are talking to these partnerships or investors or these brands that you're looking to expand to and create new opportunities for the community, what kind of KPIs are they looking at to kind of that you present to them and they view as like, okay, we're going to work with you maybe later?
I mean, it's the same KPIs that anyone kind of gives: impressions, reach, subscribers, live views, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. We've been in this space for a very long time, so we've built up the platform to be, you know, quite substantial for the type of platform that it is. Yeah, it's typical KPIs. I think I would flip that and be like, what do we look at? Because I don't like work. We ask them about their ethos, them, you know, what steps are they taking in internally for in diversity inclusion. So for instance, I used to be a presenter of a show that was sponsored by or founded by a AAA company. The first thing I did before I even took the job, I was like, so we need to address your past. What have you done since to address what's going on in the company and how you're going to improve your diversity and inclusion and what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that those are, I think that's also a key point because I'm not putting BGG in front of them to be kind of like cast in an opportunity. You want us.
Right.
Therefore, what are you doing as well? Because it's not just about us hitting them.
Yeah.
And thing. It's like, okay, so what are you doing? Because we are protective of our community. We're protective mm-hmm. of our audience. And we wouldn't want to align with a company that one isn't actually aligned with us. And two, even if you have done things in the past, you're not actually actioning anything to change that. So mm-hmm. That's really important. And it's something that we do a lot. And, you know, in the gaming industry, there's a lot of companies that have done a lot of rubbish,
mm-hmm.
not swear. So they've done a lot of rubbish. So it's hard to kind of work with a company that hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. In the white supremacist kind of world, you know, everyone's done something. But it's right. Like, what actions are you taking for the future? And so, and how can we be a part of that? Like, how can we consult? How can we inform? How can we gain equity by working with you? So that's pretty much how it kind of goes.
I like that you mentioned that because I think a lot of times in our community, we like to kind of downplay our value that we bring to spaces. And we think, oh, it's a great opportunity. So like, I'll do anything to get there, anything to get in front of mm-hmm. this table or these people. And it's like you said, it's like, no, we're adding value too. Like you need us as just as much as we need you, if not more.
Honestly.
So I think that that's so pivotal and impactful that you said that because I think we need to remind ourselves that a lot more.
Yeah, it's like an example of a brand that recently is working on a campaign and turned it down. They tried mm-hmm. to half my rate.
Mm.
No, I don't care how many numbers I've got. We need to do is to Google my name. No.
Yeah.
Secondly, they were approaching the Black female creators as part of this campaign super late in the process. So not only are you approaching us late, you're also halving and trying to minimize our fee.
Mm.
No, it's not going to work. And I think that's another thing that we've kind of had a ripple effect on in the gaming industry is giving people confidence
mm.
and insight on how to manage those circumstances. So like a lot of content creators did not know how to look what payment fees were or payment terms were, paying a net 60, net 30. They didn't know anything about that. License, usage, none mm. of that. And so we've had that impact to like give people confidence to kind of value, increase their value too.
What is the process of getting into the community, being a part of okay. it, and mm-hmm. leveraging the resources and the tools that you offer, like the brokerage and mm-hmm. The negotiations? How can somebody access that?
So people can join via two ways. We're working on the second way, which is a recent step process, sorry. So it's not fully up yet, but usually people join us via Facebook. We have a team that vets your application via Facebook into the group. And then you can access the Discord and how we send out our opportunities that we work with brands with. The brokerage is like our BGG talent list. And then people sign up via forms and then the casting happens via that. And so we send out the opportunities to everyone in like specifically into opportunities. We had no talent in certain areas, but there's other opportunities that go out to everybody. And so we have a stream team. So we have our stream teams as kind of like our roster of talent as well as other people. And then okay. we have opportunities that go out to the whole community where they can sign up. So we are working on a couple of online campaigns that are featuring Black women for like advertisements and stuff right now. And they've never done that before. So it was interesting to see them navigate that process. It's mm-hmm. fun to watch everyone learn as well. But that's how we do it. And they, you know, each opportunity requires different KPIs from different people. So we don't.
Got it.
But we are working on a second way where people can do verification calls if they don't want to use Facebook to get into the community. And so we're working on that right now.
That's so exciting. So I imagine that these, like you said, these are brand new opportunities that a lot of these gamers would have never had access to.
Yeah, particularly Black women, because as you know, I'm not sure if you know, but you can probably surmise that they'll go for white creators first, then the white male, then the white women, then then non-white, and then Black people for a lot of the things. And you know, there was a leak on Twitch recently, maybe last year, that showed like their top creators and how much they make, and predominantly was white men, you know. Yeah. So we just wanted to bridge that gap really and truly, and provide Black women to say, like, look, I worked with, I don't know, Samsung or Captain Morgan or H&M, because BDP brought me this opportunity. And they can say that, and they can go forward and kind of, you know, take their careers to the next level.
Is this something you see transitioning to a lot of these creators' full-time jobs, or are they leveraging a few different, well, they're obviously leveraging a few different opportunities, but are most of the creators that are a part of the community, this is their full-time? Yeah. No. Okay.
No, there's a mix. I mean, we've got like 9,999 or something like that in the community. Wow. So it's a really a mix, and they're all global. They're all from everywhere. Majority American, but there's people in the UK, Japan, Korea, Colombia. So I can't really speak to that, to be honest. But there are some full-time people, 100%. Mm-hmm. But they're not all full-time. Some people are working jobs and doing it. I mean, I still have a job and I still do VDG, but that's because I enjoy it. So
Right. What do you say to the Black women that are interested in gaming, or interested in becoming a gaming creator, but they don't have support or they don't know where to begin?
Well, the first thing I would say is join BGG. We can help you start. There's a lot of people in the community that will just help you. Like, can I jump on a call? Yeah, sure. Okay. Like, that's what they'll go into the Discord voice chat and just talk and help. There's lots of support there. Outside, in terms of outside support, like family or people mocking you for wanting to pursue games, ignore it. Don't pay them no mind. And also, what you can do is look up the gaming industry revenue, which is about to be $300 billion projected for 2023, and tell them that's the industry you want to work in.
I don't want to hear anything else. Right.
Literally.
Was there a specific moment that you can remember where you knew that you really tapped into something that was gonna be big?
I don't know, actually. You've asked me a question I've never known before. I haven't been asked. I don't know if there was one moment. I know, like, during 2020, when the pandemic happened, and we did this event called Black Girl Gamers Online Summit, which I want to do again. But the pandemic kind of scuppered our last plan, so we have to now replan it. But that was really powerful. Of an event, we had like 2,000 to 3,000 people watching live. We had, you know, Angela Roseborough, who I was referring to earlier, she was on the event as well as her head of diversity inclusion at the time. We had voice actresses, we had really great content creators on there as well as people who work in companies, you know, in like product marketing, etc. And people had jobs from that. People were raving about it. You started trending on social media for like how good it was and some of the gems that were coming out. And I really want to do that again. But that moment showed me like, yeah, Jayan, you've got a little bit of a good touch on what you do. And that was really powerful. And you know, I think what another moment of recognizing that, you know, this is turning out to be something great, it's just the amount of inspiration and imitation that it gives.
Yeah,
it's also true. Inspiration and imitation that happens in this space through what we do and how we do it. I know for a fact that some of our contract templates are somewhere else. So it's just like, okay, like it's Black people, so I'm just like, go do your thing. Like, if that's the case and you need the help and you'd rather not ask. Right.
That has to be exciting, though, that you are able to see your impact.
Yeah, it's very heartwarming. It's kind of like weird as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, is this real? Like, is this actually happening? Is this
right?
People are pulling my leg, right? They're not really. it's weird. I don't really focus on it too much. I just keep going. Right. I had to take a break recently because I got burned out, but yeah. I don't really focus on it too much. I just like enjoy doing it, like, and creating new campaigns and working on things. So it is nice to stop and, well done, Jay.
Right. You have to keep it fun for yourself, though, to keep the balance, I'm sure.
100%.
How do you plan to continue scaling the community and cultivating new opportunities?
I do plan on doing it. A lot of that will be via some of our media and content that's coming out soon. And then scaling the community, I actually want to take a look at creating our own space as opposed to using third-party platforms at some point. More collaborations, and I think expansion. Part of the reason why I also wanted to move here is to expand and to connect with the majority of our membership and the majority of our audience, which is based here. So that coming to the US was part of the plan for that, and to work with platforms that we've been able to work with, but on a kind of restricted, limited basis because I was based in the UK. So okay. To kind of capitalize on those connections and relationships now.
That's exciting. I'm really excited to see it flourish and continue to blossom. You're doing amazing.
Thank you.
You were also in a Webby nominated documentary called Black Excellence. How did you get to work with BuzzFeed UK to bring this to life?
Well, let me tell you something, London. London is small. London is quite small. It's small, but it's a huge city at the same time. It's weird to describe, but for culture, we were doing that for years. And so people knew us because our platform was kind of prominent at the time. And we were quite unique in the space and how we were two people, me and Trina, and we were very outspoken as well. We weren't just focusing on beauty, we were focusing on, issues that affected the Black community. Mm-hmm. And we were really, really trusted. I think that's the best way to put it. We were really trusted. And so when you have that kind of positioning in the community and in the influencer space, you get to know a lot of people. So I've known Ada for a while, but we'd never really worked together, I don't think. But you know when you just know people, and then she reached out, and we did this actually in 2021. So it's my hair's Black, like it's very awful in that. And then we had to reconvene like later on it because of the pandemic. But BuzzFeed. I've been featured in BuzzFeed before. I think Black Girl Games has been featured in BuzzFeed before. But the season team are an amazing team. They do a lot of great, great work. They are kind of the UK version of Cocoa Butter. Cocoa Butter is owned by BuzzFeed. Season's owned by BuzzFeed. They're the same team of arms. They do a lot of great content on Black people. And I always said, why not? Like, why would I not? And then it turned out to be a really great piece. And, I really enjoyed it myself, just listening and seeing even my family in it. My mom, I showed it to my mom, and she was like, because my mom's father passed away when I was 16 in a fire. And it was really sad at the time. So she was really torn up to see him and a photo of me and him when I was younger in the documentary. So like that's kind of how it kind of happened, but it's really, I'm really proud of the team. They did some great work on it. So I'm grateful to be that subject.
That's awesome. Is it available on YouTube or where?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's available on Seasons channel on YouTube. So seasoned, like seasoned your food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just making sure, but yeah, that it's available there and people can vote on the Webby website as well.
That's awesome. I am so excited for Black Girl Gamers. This is so cool. This is, I love everything that you're doing and I'm so inspired by it.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'm touched. Thank you. And likewise, you're doing amazing things as well. I see you. Thank it's you. Really great to see you. And I can't wait for us to actually link up. Like,
yes, we're definitely going to. Where can people follow you, your journey, and everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm kind of doing this little series called Jay Takes LA. I've been slacking on the content, but it's on my Instagram page, Jayanlopez_. And that's on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. And then Black Girl Gamers is Black Girl Gamers on Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, and on Instagram it's The Black Girl Gamers. But yeah, that's where you can find me, find us, find our little community.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm gonna link all of your links as well in the description box. But Jayanne, I'm so glad that you joined me today, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I'll see you next time. You're going to have to come back.
Okay, I will, definitely. Maybe in a year. See how LA treat me then.
Yes. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining and listening to this episode of Let's Talk Life. Make sure you continue to support Jayanne and the Black Girl Gamers Network. Make sure you follow, like, and subscribe. Until next time.